All right, continuing in the Texas hour, I guess. We had the China, 2 hour? Now, it kind of goes to the importance of the markets, I guess, where they've gone. But, you know, you get a little nervous when you're this far down in the program and some other people are using some of the same data sets you are and covering some of the same points you are, and you're sure sitting there hoping, man, I hope we're coming out the same, because then I'll have to explain why we're not. But so far, I think most everything, Jason's data was heavily influenced by a lot of my data that was in here. As you could see, those 202 high planes were mostly done by me, I think. And that guy with that 1.97 debt to asset, 197 debt to asset ratio, yeah, that was pretty sad. And he was one of mine. Co-authors on this, you know, we had a lot of people working on this project. This is basically a deliverable we're trying to come up with out of a project called the Texas Alliance for Water Conservation, which I'll show you a little bit about that more. And so everybody on this list, pretty much, except for Jackie, who got voted off the island early on, is a part of that project. And Rebecca, who we brought in for her expertise in doing the implant modeling. So anything that, if you ask anything about the implant modeling, we'll just have to get Rebecca on the phone and we'll hold it up to the speaker to answer that question for you, because she did all that work and she wrote all that part of the paper. So kind of starting out, looking at our situation, you kind of burned this image in your mind, because I didn't have like a transparent image of this to lay over. So just really look at this and notice the Texas border right here, and you see Lubbock and Amarillo, and this is a picture of the Ogallala Aquifer. And of course, you know, there's been a lot said and a lot of legislation, a lot of stuff regarding declining capacities in the Ogallala. In the Texas High Plains, we have about 3.4 million acres of irrigation in this region. I mentioned the TAWC, the Texas Alliance for Water Conservation. It's a fairly large project that was funded by the state legislature, and with all these entities, Texas Tech, the High Plains Underground Water Conservation District, USDA ARS, NRCS, and most importantly is that one that's kind of up there in New Mexico, that producers of Hale and Floyd counties. Without them, that's the most important group, and then the A&M group kind of down there in the other corner out in the Gulf. Okay, so the area that we're talking about in this study is District 1 and 2, Extension Districts 1 and 2, Texas Extension. And if you'll remember that Ogallala picture, that pretty much roughly corresponds to the same area of the state. Not exactly, but it's pretty darn close. And then for those that aren't familiar with the area, I've marked Hale and Floyd counties to show you where the specific study area with the 29 farm sites that we used in the study. Okay, so those sites, we have data for the 2005 through 2008 crop years. Jeff Pate, whose name was listed on there, collects all those individual farm records, and he's probably, I don't know, he may be out. Jackie and I are here. He's probably out there in the field right now. If he's not, he's on the phone trying to contact those guys to collect those records for 2009. So we won't have all those for another month or so until they get them all put together. So we divide those sites into different levels of irrigation for analysis. We decide to go with three levels. With our data, we could split it out more, but you know, from looking at a policy and aggregate level that we're going to look at in a bigger situation, we don't even have that data divided into three levels. So we roughly, they correspond to 10 acre inches of applied water. So we have a high water group that those farmers had 10 or more acre inches of water. The 10 acre inches or less were the low water group, and then of course we had dry land with no irrigation. Getting a little more down to the farm detail, this is, you know, we're talking about all these far-flung places around the world. You know, we're talking about places like Lochney and Aiken and Barwise and Muncie. And you got to be a fan of small West Texas towns to know where any of those were. But this area right here, you might not be able to see it. It's a real faint blue line. That's the Hale County-Floyd County line. So our 29 sites go from this site 24, which just off the map over here is Plainview, Texas. You might be familiar with that. And then the road to Lochney. And we just kind of in this area between Lochney and Plainview and a little north and a little south of there is the area that we're talking about. And you can see how extensive irrigation is in the area just by all those circles. Those are all pivots and all the half circles. Okay, so our high water group, we had 10 sites in that group. Their average size was the average number of acres on those 10 sites was 1,318 acres per year. We had 15 sites. And these are individual farms, like a quarter section, or some of them were not even a whole quarter. 15 sites in the low water group, and the average acres in that group was almost 2,200 acres. And then we had 4 dryland sites, and there was 697 acres there. So you got to remember that when we start looking at the gross in-plan data, that these groups weren't all the same size, and so we'll look at that on a per acre basis. Kind of before we actually get into the in-plan model, though, these were what their average cost and returns per acre, using kind of the same terminology that Jason was using there, getting down to the net cash income per acre of the different groups. The high water group had total cash receipts of $960 an acre, expenses $679, and a net cash farm income of $281. You can see nice linear trend as you go from high water, low water to dry land, that the net cash farm income drops significantly as you go from one group to the other. So obviously for the operator himself, you know, if you're going to be dry land, you got to have a lot more acres to make enough money to live on. And same way it goes, you know, the fewer the acres that you have. But that's also going to have greater impacts, and that's what we're looking at in this study. The other thing that kind of wanted just for an informational slide here, what we're talking about in these water groups. Our high water group had an average irrigation cost of $138 an acre, low water $66. The minimum was $44 and the maximum was $360. And that number 2005 means that occurred in 2005. So in 2005, in the Lochney area, it was a fairly rainy year. We didn't put a lot, and that was before fuel prices, especially natural gas, went through the roof. So that's when our lowest values occurred, was in 2005, and then our biggest value, you had the combination of a dry summer and high input prices, and our highest water use was $360 an acre just for irrigation fuel on one of those sites. And yet it still made money if you look at the individual data. Okay, so the purpose of this study was to take some actual farm level data that we've collected in a real controlled environment over 4 years and in multiple sites, and then look at what that loss of irrigation capacity would mean for these, not just for the farmers, but for the region as well. Because, you know, we're looking at a reduction to the operators, but operators as individuals deal with it by getting bigger. As you can see, that income gets smaller, they get bigger, and that individual farmer stays in business because he gets bigger. Now he's got neighbors that go out of business. Lower input and output levels affect the entire community, though, because now where we might have had 3 farmers, we have 1 farmer. He has efficiencies, he's got GPS on tractors, he doesn't have as many hands, there aren't as many kids in school, it just kind of goes on and on and on. So in-plan was used to calculate the economic and employment impact to the region. So we're going to start out with just the TAWC sites and their impact on Floyd and Hale counties alone. So we're going to have a lot of leakage here because these farms do business with Lubbock, which is not in Floyd and Hale County. So we're going to have some leakage here. So that if you're sitting there doing the math in your head, which you know Mickey accused me of doing during his presentation, but so if you can do the math in your head, Mickey, and on this as we're going through, you're going to see that you know those returns per farm were bigger than these, and that's because we got a lot of leakage. And that's why then we're also going to look at this from a from an area wide, that whole district one and two wide, because then we plug up a lot of those leakages because a lot of that money stays in the area. So these are just kind of the gross figures. And remember, the acreages aren't the same. So the high water group contributed about the same gross output as the low water group, but it was on almost half as many acres. And of course, then the dryland acres, dryland had fewer acres and, of course, a smaller impact. And when we look at value added, we see just the same thing. So those numbers don't mean a lot, but they're just kind of there for reference. Employment, same thing. We get about the same level of employment out of the high versus the low water. And, again, that's pretty much because you got half as many acres there. But when we divide this thing out by the acres, then you can kind of really start to compare what the differences are. Our gross output impact is about $600 an acre for the high water group and only $360 for the low water group and $124 an acre for the dryland group. Our value added then is about $208. So we have a total impact there of $814. Our low water group, $118 of value added, and remember they were $360. So we got a pretty significant difference there. And value added on dryland is only $43 an acre. So then as we took that data and wanted to extend it, and I made myself a note here because I didn't put a slide. This is in the paper, but it wasn't on the slides, and it's kind of late to upload it. But looking at the acreages that these represent, I did mention there was 3.4 million irrigated acres, but there's just a little over 4 million dryland acres in this region as well. So that's what we're looking at here is 3.4 million versus 4 million acres. And now you really start to see some differences. The gross output in this, now this analysis is done with that 3.4 million and the 4 million acres based on those kinds of costs and returns we had in the study area. So it's $2.3 billion for all irrigated. Now, we don't really know what's high irrigated and what's low irrigated in the high plains. We just know we've got irrigated and we've got dry land. So you can, you know, whether or not the Hale and Floyd County example holds true across the whole area, you know, would be a kind of a wild assumption. As we look at our value added, it's about $900 million versus $300 million. And then our employment, 11,100 jobs versus about 4,500 jobs. And then one of the things we wanted to look at is what would we lose if all this irrigated land went to dry land, which obviously it's not all going to go to dry land. Some of it would go from the high water category to the low water category. But in that loss, it would mean that we would lose about 7,300 jobs. So kind of in conclusion then, this is a house in Cuyahnosa, Texas, if anybody knows where Cuyahnosa is. They used to irrigate there, and this is what it looks like now. It's kind of an extreme example, but you know, individual farms will survive. There are still some survivors out there in that region. A complete loss of irrigated agriculture would be devastating to the High Plains. We don't really think that's going to happen. It's my second part of this conclusion. We will see many that will experience reduced irrigation due to loss of capacity. And then the can of worms that I didn't want to open at all, that's why I'm mentioning it in my last 30 seconds, increased regulation. Most communities won't face entire elimination of irrigation in the future, but a lot of them will have to deal with a loss of. And so with that, they're going to, you know, kind of the point of this is there's not much they can do about it. It's coming, but to know what the impact is, then as a community leader, that gives, hopefully we can help them have kind of the power to know how much economic activity they need to generate to replace that if they want to keep that community alive, be that wind turbines or whatever the other activity is that they'll need to replace. And that's kind of the point of this. Thanks, Gene.
Thanks, Gene.